It was really interesting in the adult class this morning because I haven't seen the video that we used. The class was taught by Julia, and it actually goes along with today's sermon. So basically, I still remember the day that this happened, like it was yesterday. It was back in November of 1963. And I remember we were writing about the last 40 minutes of each day we would write. And I think our instructor had us do that just because he'd like the quietness of the room. And I was in sixth grade at Ten Eyck Elementary School. And I still remember that the sixth grade teacher that was next door to us came over and called our teacher out of the room and was talking to him in the hallway. And then our teacher came back in and he was just as white as a ghost. And he walked up to the front of the room and he said, "Boys and girls, I want to let you know that our president, John F. Kennedy, has been shot in Dallas and has been rushed to the hospital." And I remember walking home that day. I lived on Audette Street, maybe about six blocks away from school. And a block before our final block, there was an older lady who would always decorate her house very festively right after Thanksgiving. And this was a few days before. So I remember walking back to school after the Thanksgiving Day break and expecting her lot to just be covered. Do you remember those old Christmas lights, the big ones that people put outside? They would get so hot that they'd actually burn the bushes. Yeah, I remember those. Anyways, I walked by her house and I was really disappointed because nothing was decorated. But I noticed there was a wreath on the front door. But this was a strange wreath. It wasn't a regular Christmas wreath, holly or evergreen. This was a completely black wreath with a black velvet bow. And I really didn't get it until I went home and I talked it over with my parents. And they said, "Well, you know that lady is a very devout Catholic and a strong supporter of John F. Kennedy. So what she did was she did that in remembrance of him." About a week later in class, during that last 40 minutes where we would do writing, I remember our teacher gave us an assignment. And he said, "I want you to write about a Christmas gift that you want and why you want it. And it would have to be 300 words. Now, of course, or more. Of course, this was before computers, so we actually had to count each of the words that we wrote. And I remember the gift that I wanted that year. It was a Kenner girder and panel set. Now, let me tell you what a girder and panel set is. It is a construction set to build buildings with. And the girders were uprights and a cross beam would attach. And then you would take a panel and you would snap it on the front. And you would use this to construct a building. Now, a very good example that we have right here in Dearborn is the Ford World Headquarters. That is a prime example of a girder and panel type building. Very simple, no ornamentation. And today's sermon is based on that. It's talking about Jesus as being the master surgeon. So, as you know, Pastor Chris usually uses visuals on the screen. I'm kind of old school and I use actual objects. So I've got some objects. The first one is this, and this is a topiary. And I actually dug this up out of our backyard. It was kind of hard to dig because the ground is still frozen, but I got it here. Anyway, a topiary is a small leafed plant, or sometimes, and this happens to be a boxwood, or sometimes it's a small needle plant, such as a yew, and it's forcibly clipped in a certain shape. And this is a very basic one. It's basically a ball on a stick, or a ball on a trunk, actually. And but this topiary is about 20 years old. So you can tell, just like a surgeon, you have to do a lot of cutting away, and you have to do it on a regular basis. Over here, we have, this is not actually a sculpture. This is actually what Victorian people would have in their homes, middle-class Victorian people who could not afford a regular sculpture. This is a chalkware copy, and this happens to be of the ancient Greek poetress Sappho. And the reason I brought this in, even though this is not simplistic, this is very elaborate, I brought it in because it always amazes me when a sculptor knows, you know, looks at a piece of marble or granite and knows exactly what parts to take out and what parts to leave. So just like a surgeon, a sculptor needs to carve away that which is not needed. And then finally, in the middle here, we have some trophies and some medals. Some of these are Jared's. A few are mine from running in 5Ks and making it, not collapsing before you get over the finish line. They certainly aren't for first places. Getting back to the girder and panel set, when I went to middle school, although at that time it was called junior high, we had to do some research on a profession that we were thinking of going into. And I was always fascinated with architecture. So at that point, I thought I would be an architect. And so I did some research on architecture and architects, and I discovered an architect that I really resonated with. And his name was Mies van der Rohe. And Mies van der Rohe was a German-American architect. And he was actually the last person that was involved with the Bauhaus movement in Germany before Hitler closed it down. Now, let me tell you a little bit about that movement. That movement, their mantra, was form follows function. So their pieces, whether they were teapots or whether they were alarm clocks or whatever they were, buildings, they were built very simply, and the materials were presented, you know, not tried to be painted to look like a piece of marble or such. They were very simple. Now, Mies van der Rohe, he designed very free-flowing buildings. He used raw materials that did not try to mimic other things. He called it minimal, or bones and skin architecture, much like the architect that designed this building, Eldon Dow. Nothing in this building is presented in a way artificially. Even our pillars, which are cast concrete, are made to look like cast concrete. They aren't marbleized or made to look like granite. And Mies van der Rohe had a mantra also, and his mantra was, less is more. Now, this topiary over here reminds me of the Jewish tax collectors. The Jewish tax collectors were Jews who were absolutely hated by their own people. And the reason they were hated is because they would collect taxes for Rome, but the Romans gave them free rein to collect as much money as they wanted to. So they may take a tax of maybe a couple denarii, and they may jack it up to 8 denarii, you owe 8, and then they would pocket the rest. So they were not good about paring down things like we would do in topiary or in sculpting, removing what we need to. Now this statue over here kind of reminds me of the Pharisees. And this is not typical Greek wear, the outfit. It's been Victorianized with some of this fancy tassel work. And if you come up here later, you can check out her head. She's got a headband on with a flower. It's been really added to. And the Pharisees took the Ten Commandments, and they added over 600 rules to the Ten Commandments that the Jews were supposed to keep. Now, the Pharisees liked to pretend that they could keep these rules, but even the Pharisees couldn't. And then finally, in the middle, these trophies remind us of many of our lives where we vie for attention or we vie for the prize, maybe the best job, the highest salary. And sometimes we put so much time and effort into just this one area of our life that it actually takes away from other areas. And I know I was talking with a young adult this past week, and he really made me realize how we need to live holistic lives. We need to live lives that are comprised of more than one area. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's from Matthew 11. We need to rest in Jesus, and we need to follow his directions in life. We need to stop being so self-reliant, making ourselves actually into God, and we need to follow him. When we focus on ourselves, we are really making ourselves God. Now, that can happen in the business world. Sometimes as business people, we are so focused on getting the job done that we don't delegate anything to anybody. We take on all the small details ourselves. Even in the church, we need to be careful that as volunteers or even as pastors, that we don't try to make every meeting, make every event, because once again, that would be too focused in one area. Parents many times either for their children or they allow their children to become overly busy. I know Lynn and I, we were given some great advice by a Dearborn High teacher who happened to be one of our neighbors. And her advice to us, that was when our kids got in high school, that they never got involved in more than two activities besides school. Let me give you a for instance. Our daughter ran cross country. And at the same time, in the same period, there was also marching band that would play for football games. And I still remember Lynn, I was probably at soccer practice with our son, talk about being too busy. But anyways, I remember Lynn telling us that she went to the cross country meet, and Alyssa, after she had run, she got Alyssa, and Alyssa had already told her coach that she would be leaving as soon as she had crossed the finish line. And Lynn threw her in the minivan, and Alyssa laid on the floor and took off her cross-country running garb and put on her band uniform and popped up and was ready to go when she got to Dearborn High. But sometimes we find that we are overly involved in too many activities, And once again, that's what this represents. We need to take care of ourselves. Just like a surgeon that carves away or repairs things, that's what we need to do. We need to look at our life, and we have to make sure we're getting enough sleep, proper nutrition. We need to simplify our schedules. We need to read to improve our minds. We have to set realistic goals. We need to grow spiritually. We need to exercise, and we need to socialize. And I know just this past week, I had spent some time with my new Indian friend here, and the day after, we had talked a lot about not just focusing on one area of life, but being more holistic. I started wondering, maybe that's a cultural thing. And it wasn't until I had a phone call with a friend of mine in Brazil that I was talking to him and realized that he was really focused on one area of his life, his job at the present moment. And so I asked him, I said, do you think this is an age-related thing? Is this a young adult thing? And the more we talked, we realized that it really doesn't matter what age you are, what ethnic group you come from, what your background is. If we want to be simply focused in one area of our life, we will be. Our ministries need to energize us, not drag us down or burn us out. And we need to live a holistic lifestyle. Jesus gave us such a great example by the life that he lived. When you think about it, Jesus preached. He spent time with his Father by getting up early in the morning and praying. We know that he went to weddings, so I'm sure he ate well. But we also know he took time to exercise. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus exercised. But it does say that he walked with his disciples from town to town. So certainly he got enough exercise. So it's very important that we live this holistic life. And just like Jesus, our master surgeon, we need to allow him to cut away the extra things that we don't need. Mies van der Rohe's mantra was less is more. Jesus Christ is our Lord, Savior, and Master Surgeon. May our lives be simplified through Christ. Amen.